WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Health officials report the first cases of a highly contagious coronavirus variant from California in Virginia. Keep wearing that mask. Hundreds of students walk out of classes at Washington and Lee in favor of getting rid of the Lee part of the name, but some alumni are strongly opposed to any changes. And Governor Northam wants to speed up the pace of pot legalization. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, March 26th. Virginia health officials report the first cases in the state of a highly contagious coronavirus variant that first emerged in California last summer. The discovery of two separate California variants here means a total of four variants now found in the state, including variants from first discovered in South Africa and the United Kingdom. The Virginia Department of Health says the California variants are associated with increased person-to-person transmission of COVID-19, but there is no evidence that infections with the variants cause more severe disease. In total, state health officials have reported 176 cases of the variants in Virginia. They say it is important for residents, including those fully vaccinated, to continue to wear masks to protect others in public and to maintain safe physical distances from those outside your home. Hundreds of students at Washington and Lee University in Lexington walked out of classes on Tuesday to show their support for dropping Lee from the college's name. WMRA's Randy Behage reports.
On the grounds where Confederate General Robert E. Lee is buried, a new battle rages on, and this one is a culture war. On Tuesday, about 400 students at Washington and Lee University marched through the campus, flowing out over a grassy hillside in front of Lee Chapel, where the general's bones lie. The students wore t-shirts, masks, and carried signs saying "Change the name," in a demonstration they hope will sway the Board of Trustees towards removing Lee from the college's name. Lee served as president of then Washington College from 1865 to 1870.
By continuing to uphold and honor Robert E. Lee, you are showing us and the world who and what matters to you. And it is not black people or people of color.
Anuma Anekwe is a junior studying cognitive and behavioral science with a minor in Africana studies. She's one of the black students who make up just 3% of the student body.
You are alienating us, you are leaving us unsafe, and you are ensuring that some of us leave here with a lifetime of trauma to unpack. But most of all, you are holding on to a history that denigrated, enslaved, and committed an entire genocide of a lot of our ancestors, all while trying to convince us that that's not what's important and that we should be okay with it. That has got to be the most ruthless part of it all.
Being in the South, like, that's something that is oftentimes a divider of people, like whether or not you are still remembering and supporting the Confederacy.
Anekwe said that faculty are generally supportive of the students who are calling for the name change. The board is currently considering it, but announced in January that it needs more time to make a decision.
I hope that this makes them realize that, you know, faculty, students, the community, alumni, they want a name change, and what we want for them to do now is to call a meeting and to finish their deliberations.
Otis Carter organized the walkout.
I was actually very, very surprised by how many people came. It's kind of breathtaking.
He said that alumni donated all the funds for them to print the shirts, masks, and signs. But a lot of alumni feel that Lee's name and legacy should remain integral to the college, and their funding is at stake.
Many of the people in the general's readout have provided financial support, significant financial support, for the university over the years.
Neely Young graduated from Washington and Lee in 1966, and he's part of an alumni group called the General's Readout that opposes changing the school's name.
Now, some of us have suspended our donations to the university until this name change issue is resolved. We attempt to live our lives emulation of the characteristics of Robert E. Lee and George Washington. We look upon them with respect and honor. We don't have hero worship for them. We simply recognize the tremendous influence that they've had on our university and on generations of students and alums.
Young said that many alumni hold affection for Lee, in part, because his 5 years as college president saved the school from financial ruin and introduced a modern curriculum. And, he said, they're in touch with a lot of conservative students on campus who feel the same, but may not be as vocal as liberal students and faculty.
Our group favors greater diversity at Washington and Lee, all types of diversity, ethnic diversity, socioeconomic diversity, but also ideological or a political and cultural diversity.
Tony Losey, a professor of journalism at the college, said the trustees are feeling the economic pressure exerted by these alumni.
It really is disturbing and disappointing that people who claim to love this university as much as they do, and they will tell you constantly that they love this place more than anyone, yet their criticism and their rhetoric is over the top, and they are putting an amazing amount of pressure, you know, on the trustees, and they're using their money. And that is, you know, it's so crass, you know, in my opinion.
Losey published an editorial in The Nation last summer that countered the rose-colored narratives that present Lee as an honorable educator and an advocate for reconciliation after the Civil War.
I received quite a few emails and some voicemails from some irate people, alums and parents of graduates who lashed out. I mean, that piece sent those people into a rage. And some of them talk about Robert E. Lee as if they know him. And he's been dead 150 years. There is no future if the university goes down the path that those folks want it to go down. Just think about it. Think about the publicity that is going to come down on this school if the trustees decide to stay the course and to keep things as they are.
Washington College recruited Lee to serve as president with the hopes that his reputation would attract more students and funding. Now, in 2021, it may be that his absence would do the same. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
And as always, you can learn more about that story at WMRA.org or on the app. Governor Ralph Northam is expected to ask lawmakers to speed up the timeline for legalizing marijuana in Virginia. Ben Pavier from VPM in Richmond reports.
Last month, lawmakers passed a bill that would allow adults to possess an ounce or less of marijuana beginning in 2024. Sources say Governor Northam is now pushing to bump that up to July 1st of this year. His office declined to comment on the date, but the governor hinted at the change.
I personally don't think that we should be arresting or penalizing someone for doing something that we're getting ready to legalize.
The governor has until the end of this month to make changes to the legislation. The General Assembly will consider his amendments when they meet again on April 7th. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Stimulus money from the government is helping a lot of people stay afloat in a troubled economy. And in the Commonwealth, it doesn't have to go to creditors, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
That $1,400 stimulus check is burning a hole in your bank account. So what should you do with it? One thing you don't have to do with it is use it to pay off debt, like your car loan or outstanding student debt. Last year, lawmakers passed a bill that says creditors can't go after your stimulus check. But Jay Spear at the Virginia Poverty Law Center says he's worried about people falling through the cracks.
The bank turns it over to a creditor mistakenly. The person could still get it back, but they'd have to go to court and get it back. So you would have to know that it's exempt in order to realize that you can go to court and get it back.
He says he's concerned the new law doesn't have any consequences for banks that allow creditors to garnish stimulus cash. But Matt Bruning at the Virginia Bankers Association says the industry is taking steps to make sure stimulus money is identified and protected.
It does give us a safe harbor for a good faith effort to comply. But if the bank doesn't do anything to try to figure out, hey, you deposited $1,400 into your account, that's probably your stimulus check, and you don't protect it, well, then you are liable.
Congress is considering legislation similar to the law Virginia passed last year. Michael Pope.
Finally today, dozens are running for governor and lieutenant governor in November. Virginia Public Radio's Jed Khalil spoke with a political analyst about why so many politicians think this is their year.
There are five candidates hoping to be the Democratic nominee for governor this election. In 2017, there were only two. Bob Holsworth is a Richmond-based political analyst. He thinks the governor's field is so big because there's no heir apparent to Governor Ralph Northam.
You have this very unusual situation in which neither the sitting lieutenant governor nor the sitting attorney general are either running for governor or are the favorite to be the nominee.
And for the Republicans, there are even more. The Virginia Public Access Project lists seven. Holsworth says the number of candidates doesn't necessarily mean a diversity of ideas on the Republican side.
They're all embracing in some fashion or another Donald Trump because they recognize that the Republican base is often a Trump base.
The race for lieutenant governor is even bigger. The Virginia Public Access Project lists 8 Democrats and 5 Republicans running for that office. The Republicans are holding a convention to pick their statewide candidates on May 8th. The Democrats are holding their primary on June 8th. I'm Jad Khalil.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Friday.